Arkansas has three methods landlords can file in order to evict somebody. Two of them are civil, and the other one is criminal. And that means that you can file a criminal charge against somebody. And the way it works is if somebody is even a day late, falling behind on their rent, the way the statute is written, that means that they forfeit their right to the property. And then a landlord can give them a 10-day notice to leave. And if they don't leave within those 10 days, they can be fined up to, I think, $25 for every day they overstay. And then they can also be charged with a misdemeanor. We found that people have ended up in jail that since 2018, the state's criminal database has a record of 45 arrests under the statute. And another 37 people have been sentenced to jail for failing to appear in court after being charged with the statute.
A lot of landlords, I would say, that we spoke with expressed that they weren't knowledgeable of the fact that tenants could be jailed or arrested on failure to appear charges. But that was something that we found, as Maya mentioned, was common in these cases that did result in tenants being arrested or spending time in jail. And having additional fees added on to their cases alongside those charges. And additionally, I think something we also found was that in terms of the motivation for why landlords do pursue these failure to vacate charges is that there's an economic incentive to do so. And so oftentimes landlords, you know, are deciding between pursuing a civil charge in which they might have to hire an attorney if they're an incorporated business because they're not allowed to represent themselves, or they can file a criminal failure to vacate charge in which the state is prosecuting the case as opposed to a lawyer that is hired by the landlord themselves.
I just wanted to sort of emphasize something that Maya mentioned about the fact that the legislature has fought to keep this statute in place. I mean, there are a lot of antiquated laws in states everywhere that you know, are no longer enforced and seem ridiculous when we hear about them, but you know, they're not enforced as a practical matter. In contrast, I mean, this is a law that it's been revised recently by the legislature despite all the controversy surrounding it, despite the fact that a circuit judge declared it unconstitutional in its previous form a few years ago. And one of the things that's mentioned in the story is that, I mean, a number of those legislators are in fact themselves landlords and have no problem using evictions, whether criminal or civil, to get tenants out of their properties if they need to.
It seems like it's kind of this legal gray area. Like, there have been numerous court challenges and none of them have really worked. I guess I would just ask about how those have gone. Why hasn't anything worked? And do prosecutors? I mean, it seems like it's an individual sort of decision. Like, if the individual prosecutors can just not impose any penalties for this. Can they get in trouble for that?
We found that there's two ways that legal advocates who've been trying to repeal the law have tried to do so through the courts. One of which is to challenge its constitutionality after it's been brought. And in the few cases where they've gotten to court with that, oftentimes the tenant will actually move out during the proceedings. And that happened actually also in the other way that legal advocates have tried to stem this statute from continuing to affect tenants. And that's through filing a challenge in federal courts in order to challenge a case before it's been filed and goes through. But again, these cases have the court systems move pretty slowly, and a tenant, you know, has to find out where they're going to be in housing. And so it's an active case. It's oftentimes that the tenant will move out before the case can get fully adjudicated and the merits of the case can get fully adjudicated. And then in 2015, actually, after the circuit court found it unconstitutional, a lot of prosecuting attorneys and judges decided they would no longer hear the statute, even though it was on the state books. And so a number of counties have actually decided that they would no longer bring these cases forward or hear them. But we still found that in Garland County and in Miller County, and specifically in Texarkana, that the criminal eviction statute is used fairly often, if not more than the civil statute in those two areas. So while some counties have stopped hearing it altogether, other judges and prosecuting attorneys feel like it's their job to enforce the law, and this is a statute on the law's book, so they're going to keep doing it.
More on the data side, a question for you, Ellis, probably, but what do we know about the frequency of criminal evictions versus civil evictions in Arkansas? Are there any trends that you guys noticed in just looking at past years? Do we know if it's been less frequent during the pandemic?
We looked at data pertaining to criminal charges filed since 2018, and there's been more than 1,000 in some of the larger counties in the state that use the statewide online court record system. One thing that's important to emphasize is that the frequency at which landlords use these filings look very different across the state. And a lot of that, as Maya mentioned, is tied to judges and prosecuting attorneys. However, in some places, one of the interesting things we pointed out in the story was that after the ruling in Pulaski County, we saw that civil eviction filings actually nearly doubled after they decided to no longer hear criminal evictions. And so that was one interesting trend, I would say, that we saw during the course of our reporting. In other places, you know, criminal filings, you know, suggested that in some places, criminal eviction filings are, you know, could be referred to as a de facto eviction method for tenants that aren't paying rent.
The larger counties in the state, most of them seem to no longer use the statute. Sometimes that is explicit, where the prosecutor or district judges will say, we're not doing this anymore. Sometimes it just seems to have kind of gone by the wayside. I didn't find a ton of these cases in recent years, but there are some glaring exceptions. And I think that the two that really stand out are Hot Springs and Texarkana.
The Hot Springs and Texarkana, they're large-ish urban areas, but I guess what aside from that, do you think you can attribute that to?
You know, a lot of landlords cited how long it would take to push a case through the civil courts being something that sort of incentivize them toward the criminal side of things, just because it, in their mind, would amount to a quicker time at which they can get the tenant out of their property and get someone else in who could perhaps pay rent and, you know, get them to a place where they're making money on that unit again. And so in larger counties, you know, the civil courts are more tied up. I would say that might also be a factor that contributes, you know, how landlords are making these decisions.
I believe you asked about how the pandemic has affected things. And we did find, I believe, something like 200 cases that have been filed since the middle of March. That, again, is not a complete survey of every district court in the state. There are hundreds of small district courts, and it's unclear how many of those still do hear these sorts of cases. But at minimum, you know, there have been that many evictions filed under the criminal statute. Now, most of those cases probably didn't result in anybody getting arrested or going to jail. More often than not, tenants will move out once the eviction proceeding begins. But, you know, it's a sign that it's still being employed. I mean, even despite the recent moratorium from the CDC, evictions are still happening in Arkansas.
Of the 200 or so criminal eviction filings that have been passing through district courts since mid-March, we found that at least seven people, all women, were detained or either sentenced to jail for failing to appear in court. And this was throughout the pandemic. And actually, on the note about all those people being women, we also found that this statute has been disproportionately used against women over its history. Back in 2012, the University of Arkansas Little Rock law school professor Lynn Foster did research and found that 62% of cases that went through the Little Rock prosecuting attorney were filed against Black women. And then we actually found that of those cases since mid-March, about 65% were filed against women. And that's in line with a lot of historical and other research that has been done on evictions, that it disproportionately affects women. And we see that partially that's tied to the lower wages that women earn compared to men.
In the piece, you state that criminal evictions as a whole in Arkansas sort of follow national trends with civil evictions, in that disproportionately women, Black women, low-income women, Is that, I guess, just a function of mirroring the national trends? Or if it is, then why are those groups more likely to be evicted?
Looking at the fact that a lot of Americans are struggling with being out of work, you know, being unemployed, the government still hasn't extended additional benefits in terms of rental assistance. And that's one, you know, one thing to point to and looking at who is more likely to not be in the workforce. I would say additionally, one person we talked to in the story, Richard McGrew, cited that a lot of the people he rents properties to, and he is a state representative who represents District 22, parts of Garland County, you know, he cited that a lot of his tenants are folks that struggle with addiction, you know, people who may be impoverished. Oftentimes, you know, these extenuating circumstances might lead them to not be able to pay rent. But he is someone who made it very clear that he views someone who's not paying rent as stealing from him and still, you know, oftentimes does use the criminal eviction method. And so I think one of the things that we saw from our report was that a lot of times you have the intersection of a lot of different systemic issues that all converge in someone's ability to pay rent. And especially during the pandemic, where we're seeing around the country that folks are struggling with being able to have the resources to keep up with rent payments, it's heightening this issue. And, you know, on the other side, a lot of landlords also mentioned that they have insurance payments and mortgage payments to make as well. And so I think that's why a lot of folks on both sides of the aisle tend to advocate for rent relief and ways to get money both in the tenants' pockets, but also ultimately in the landlords as well.
I can't remember if this was like a justification for the law in 1901 or recently to one of the people that you guys talked to. But I remember someone saying that like the intended purpose is that working under the assumption that these people will not be going to jail, it's less harmful than having a civil judgment on your record. I guess I'm just wondering, like, has that ever been the case? If this, the criminal eviction statute was struck down in Arkansas, like, would that perhaps be a drawback to repealing that?
From our reporting, I think the crux of that argument is that landlords aren't actually going after unpaid rent if they're filing a criminal charge against someone. From their perspective, it's just to get them out of the property so they can retain, you know, change the locks and get somebody else in. However, with the civil method, oftentimes, you know, in addition to unpaid rent, they can tack on legal fees, they can tack on any sort of fees for damages, and the process can result in a default judgment, especially if a tenant doesn't show up in court, but also additional hits to credit scores, which may impact their ability to qualify for public housing in the future. And so I think a lot of folks like to direct attention towards, you know, what we know to be those very serious consequences of a civil charge. However, I think one of the things that we try to do in this reporting is present both sides of it. And while not acknowledging that a civil eviction itself is somehow, you know, better or, you know, more suitable, but in fact, this is just a civil matter in nature, and landlords will acknowledge that as well. However, on both sides, there are, you know, pretty what we found to be serious and lasting implications of both a criminal charge and the civil process as well.
Yeah, the way that in the past legal advocates have used to try to get at the statute has been through the courts, but the legislature also has the capacity to repeal the statute if they were so interested, and that wouldn't require any constitutional amendments or anything like that. It would just be repealing the statute that's on the books. And just from speaking to representatives across the state, I know that some folks in this upcoming legislative session have their eyes on examining the landlord-tenant laws across the state, and have spoken about their interest in re-examining the criminal statute now that there is a broader understanding of the effects that it does have on tenants. So I'd say it's something to look out for in the upcoming legislative session.